The Health Food Ministry. Foreword. This collection of statements from the pen of Ellen G. White has been assembled to provide, in one convenient source, the principal counsels relating to the production and distribution of foods as a part of the work of the Church. For a period of about 10 years, beginning with 1898, the Lord sent through His servant many messages of encouragement, instruction, counsel, and warning regarding this work. In 1902, Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, appeared, in which was included a section on the health food work. This section deals comprehensively with the principles that were outlined previous to that time. After the publication of Volume 7, there developed in the food work new conditions which called forth many later messages of counsel and instruction. On the request of Loma Linda Foods, the White Estate, in 1934, made these counsels available in a 55-page mimeographed document. This document, Health Food Ministry, now draws together the counsels from both sources, first the materials from Volume 7, and then the later statement. As the 1934 compilation from the manuscripts was intended to be supplementary to that printed in Volume 7, the manuscripts from which that instruction was taken are not here included. Other statements that closely parallel the subject matter selected for the mimeographed document have also been omitted. There are still some repetitions of thought which are retained because of certain striking statements or forms of expression that seem to make each one of special value. Because much of the instruction was called forth by conditions as they arose, the materials in Section 2 appear in chronological arrangement rather than topical. A few fillers have been inserted out of chronological order because of their close relation to certain other paragraphs. As a help to the reader, a topical outline has been prepared, covering the principal points of instruction, each item being followed by references to the pages where these topics appear. The reader will note that in all these messages, emphasis is placed upon the value of health food work as a soul-winning agency. Its possibilities for good are clearly pointed out. As this work developed to large proportions, however, it was found necessary to add cautions against commercialism, heavy investments, entering into binding contracts, and permitting it to absorb talent that should be devoted more directly to evangelizing efforts. This compilation should serve as a helpful guide in the laying and execution of plans for making the health food work what God designed it to be, and to shun the pitfalls that would destroy its usefulness and make it a hindrance rather than a help to the evangelization of the world. The Trustees of the Ellen G. White Estate. Section 1. The Testimonies, Volume 7, Materials. Health Foods. Eat. For strength and not for drunkenness. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 17. Medical Missionary Work in the Cities. San Francisco, California. December 12, 1900. There is work to be done in California, a work that has been strangely neglected. Let this work be delayed no longer. As doors open for the presentation of truth, let us be ready to enter. Some work has been done in the large city of San Francisco, but as we study the field, we see plainly that only a beginning has been made. As soon as possible, well-organized efforts should be put forth in different sections of this city and also in Oakland. The wickedness of San Francisco is not realized. Our work in this city must broaden and deepen. God sees in it many souls to be saved. In San Francisco, a hygienic restaurant has been opened, also a food store and treatment rooms. These are doing a good work, but their influence should be greatly extended. Other restaurants, similar to the one on Market Street, should be opened in San Francisco and in Oakland. Concerning the effort that is now being made in these lines, we can say, Amen and Amen. And soon other lines of work that will be a blessing to the people will be established. Medical missionary evangelistic work should be carried forward in a most prudent and thorough manner. The solemn, sacred work of saving souls is to advance in a way that is modest and yet ever elevated. Where are the working forces? Men and women who are thoroughly converted, men and women of discernment and keen foresight, should act as directors. Good judgment must be exercised in employing persons to do this special work, persons who love God and who walk before Him in all humility, persons who will be effective agencies in God's hand for the accomplishment of the object He has in view, the uplifting and saving of human beings. Medical missionary evangelists will be able to do excellent pioneer work. The work of the minister should blend fully with that of the medical missionary evangelist. The Christian physician should regard his work as exalted as that of the ministry. He bears a double responsibility, for in him are combined the qualifications of both physician and gospel minister. His is a grand, a sacred, and a very necessary work. The physician and the minister should realize that they are engaged in the same work. They should labor in perfect harmony. They should counsel together. By their unity, they will bear witness that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world to save all who will believe in Him as their personal Savior. Physicians whose professional abilities are above those of the ordinary doctor should engage in the service of God in the large cities. They should seek to reach the higher classes. Something is being done in this line in San Francisco, but much more should be done. Let there be no misconception of the nature and the importance of these enterprises. San Francisco is a large field and an important portion of the Lord's vineyard. Medical missionaries who labor in evangelistic lines are doing a work of as high an order as are their ministerial fellow workers. The efforts put forth by these workers are not to be limited to the poorer classes. The higher classes have been strangely neglected. In the higher walks of life will be found many who will respond to the truth because it is consistent, because it bears the stamp of the high character of the gospel. Not a few of the men of ability thus won to the cause will enter energetically into the Lord's work. The Lord calls upon those who are in positions of trust, those to whom He has entrusted His precious gifts, to use their talents of intellect and means in His service. Our workers should present before these men a plain statement of our plan of labor, telling them what we need in order to help the poor and needy, and to establish this work on a firm basis. Some of these will be impressed by the Holy Spirit to invest the Lord's means in a way that will advance His cause. They will fulfill His purpose by helping to create centers of influence in the large cities. Interested workers will be led to offer themselves for various lines of missionary effort. Hygienic restaurants will be established. But with what carefulness should this work be done? Every hygienic restaurant should be a school. The workers connected with it should be constantly studying and experimenting, that they may make improvement in the preparation of healthful foods. In the cities, this work of instruction may be carried forward on a much larger scale than in smaller places. But in every place where there is a church, instruction should be given in regard to the preparation of simple, healthful foods for the use of those who wish to live in accordance with the principles of health reform. And the church members should impart to the people of their neighborhood the light they receive on this subject. The students in our schools should be taught how to cook. Let tact and skill be brought into this branch of education. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness, Satan is working to turn the feet of the youth into paths of temptation that lead to ruin. We must strengthen and help them to withstand the temptations that are to be met on every side regarding the indulgence of appetite. To teach them the science of healthful living is to do missionary work for the Master. Cooking schools are to be established in many places. This work may begin in a humble way, but as intelligent cooks do their best to enlighten others, the Lord will give them skill and understanding. The word of the Lord is, "Forbid them not, for I will reveal myself to them as their instructor." He will work with those who carry out His plans, teaching the people how to bring about reformation in their diet by the preparation of healthful, inexpensive foods. Thus the poor will be encouraged to adopt the principles of health reform. They will be helped to become industrious and self-reliant. It has been presented to me that men and women of capability were being taught of God how to prepare wholesome, palatable foods in an acceptable manner. Many of these were young, and there were also those of mature age. I have been instructed to encourage the conducting of cooking schools in all places where medical missionary work is being done. Every inducement to lead the people to reform must be held out before them. Let as much light as possible shine upon them. teach them to make every improvement that they can in the preparation of food, and encourage them to impart to others that which they learn. Shall we not do all in our power to advance the work in all of our large cities? Thousands upon thousands who live near us need help in various ways. Let the ministers of the gospel remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" Matthew 5, verse 14-13. The Lord Jesus will work miracles for his people. In the 16th of Mark we read, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Verses 19-20. Here we are assured that the Lord was qualifying his chosen servants to take up medical missionary work after his ascension. From the record of the Lord's miracles in providing wine at the wedding feast and in feeding the multitude, we may learn a lesson of the highest importance. The health food business is one of the Lord's own instrumentalities to supply a necessity. The heavenly provider of all foods will not leave his people in ignorance in regard to the preparation of the best foods for all times and occasions. The restaurant work. We must do more than we have done to reach the people of our cities. We are not to erect large buildings in the cities, but over and over again, the light has been given me that we should establish in all our cities small plants which shall be centers of influence. The Lord has a message for our cities. And this message we are to proclaim in our camp meetings and by other public efforts, and also through our publications. In addition to this, hygienic restaurants are to be established in the cities, and by them, the message of temperance is to be proclaimed. Arrangements should be made to hold meetings in connection with our restaurants. Whenever possible, let a room be provided where the patrons can be invited to lectures on the science of health and Christian temperance, where they can receive instruction on the preparation of wholesome food and on other important subjects. In these meetings, there should be prayer and singing and talks, not only on health and temperance topics, but also on other appropriate Bible subjects. As the people are taught how to preserve physical health, many opportunities will be found to sow the seeds of the gospel of the kingdom. The subjects should be presented in such a way as to impress the people favorably. There should be in the meetings nothing of a theatrical nature. The singing should not be done by a few only. All present should be encouraged to join in the song service. There are those who have a special gift of song, and there are times when a special message is borne by one singing alone, or by several uniting in song. But the singing is seldom to be done by a few. The ability to sing is a talent of influence, which God desires all to cultivate and use to his name's glory. Those who come to our restaurants should be supplied with reading matter. Their attention should be called to our literature on temperance and dietetic reform, and leaflets treating on the lessons of Christ should also be given them. The burden of supplying this reading matter should be shared by all our people. All who come should be given something to read. It may be that many will leave the tract unread, but some among those in whose hands you place it may be searching for light. They will read and study what you give them, and then pass it on to others. The workers in our restaurants should live in such close connection with God that they will recognize the promptings of His Spirit to talk personally about spiritual things to such and such a one who comes to the restaurant. When self is crucified and Christ is formed within, the hope of glory, we shall reveal, in thought, word, and deed, the reality of our belief in the truth. The Lord will be with us, and through us the Holy Spirit will work to reach those who are out of Christ. The Lord has instructed me that this is the work to be done by those conducting our restaurants. The pressure and rush of business must not lead to a neglect of the work of soul saving. It is well to minister to the physical wants of our fellow men, but if ways are not found to let the light of the gospel shine forth to those who come day by day for their meals, how is God glorified by our works? When the restaurant work was started, it was expected that it would be the means of reaching many with the message of present truth. Has it done this? To the workers in our restaurants, the question was asked by one in authority. To how many have you spoken regarding their salvation? How many have heard from your lips earnest appeals to accept Christ as a personal Savior? How many have been led by your words to turn from sin to the service of the living God?
As in our restaurants, people are supplied with temporal food. Let not the workers forget that they themselves and those whom they serve need to be constantly supplied with the bread of heaven. Let them watch constantly for opportunities to speak of the truth to those who know it not. Care of the helpers. The managers of our restaurants are to work for the salvation of the employees. They must not overwork, because by so doing, they will place themselves where they have neither strength nor inclination to help the workers spiritually. They are to devote their best powers to instructing their employees in spiritual lines, explaining the scriptures to them, and praying with them and for them. They are to guard the religious interests of the helpers as carefully as parents are to guard the religious interests of their children. Patiently and tenderly, they are to watch over them, doing all in their power to help them in the perfection of Christian characters. Their words are to be like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Their actions are to be free from every trace of selfishness and harshness. They are to stand as minutemen, watching for souls as they that must give an account. They are to strive to keep their helpers standing on vantage ground, where their courage will constantly grow stronger and their faith in God constantly increase. Unless our restaurants are conducted in this way, it will be necessary to warn our people against sending their children to them as workers. Many of those who patronize our restaurants do not bring with them the angels of God. They do not desire the companionship of these holy beings. They bring with them a worldly influence, and to withstand this influence, the workers need to be closely connected with God. The managers of our restaurants must do more to save the young people in their employ. They must put forth greater efforts to keep them alive spiritually, so that their young minds will not be swayed by the worldly spirit with which they are constantly brought in contact. The girls and the young women in our restaurants need a shepherd. Every one of them needs to be sheltered by home influences. There is danger that the youth, entering our institutions as believers and desiring to help in the cause of God, will become weary and disheartened, losing their zeal and courage, and growing cold and indifferent. We cannot crowd these youth into small, dark rooms and deprive them of the privileges of home life, and then expect them to have a wholesome religious experience. It is important that wise plans be laid for the care of the helpers in all our institutions, and especially for those employed in our restaurants. Good helpers should be secured, and every advantage should be provided that will aid them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. They are not to be left to the mercy of haphazard circumstances, with no regular time for prayer and no time at all for Bible study. When left thus, they become heedless and careless, indifferent to eternal realities. With every restaurant, there should be connected a man and his wife who can act as guardians of the helpers, a man and woman who love the Savior and the souls for whom he died, and who keep the way of the Lord. The young women should be under the care of a wise, judicious matron, a woman who is thoroughly converted, who will carefully guard the workers, especially the younger ones. The workers are to feel that they have a home. They are God's helping hand, and they are to be treated as carefully and tenderly as Christ declared that the little child whom he set in the midst of his disciples was to be treated. "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me," he said, "it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 18, verse 6, 10. The care that should be given to these employees is one of the reasons in favor of having in a large city several small restaurants instead of one large one. But this is not the only reason why it will be best to establish several small restaurants in different parts of our large cities. The smaller restaurants will recommend the principles of health reform just as well as the larger establishment, and will be much more easily managed. We are not commissioned to feed the world, but we are instructed to educate the people. In the smaller restaurants, there will not be so much work to do, and the helpers will have more time to devote to the study of the Word, more time to learn how to do their work well, and more time to answer the inquiries of the patrons who are desirous of learning about the principles of health reform. If we fulfill the purpose of God in this work, the righteousness of Christ will go before us, and the glory of the Lord will be our rearward. But if there is no ingathering of souls, if the helpers themselves are not spiritually benefited, if they are not glorifying God in word and deed, why should we open and maintain such establishments? If we cannot conduct our restaurants to God's glory, if we cannot exert through them a strong religious influence, it would be better for us to close them up and use the talents of our youth in other lines of work. But our restaurants can be so conducted that they will be the means of saving souls. Let us seek the Lord earnestly for humility of heart, that He may teach us how to walk in the light of His counsel, how to understand His word, how to accept it, and how to put it into practice. There is danger that our restaurants will be conducted in such a way that our helpers will work very hard day after day and week after week, and yet not be able to point to any good accomplished. This matter needs careful consideration. We have no right to bind our young people up in a work that yields no fruit to the glory of God. There is danger that the restaurant work, though regarded as a wonderfully successful way of doing good, will be so conducted that it will promote merely the physical well-being of those whom it serves. A work may apparently bear the features of supreme excellence, but it is not good in God's sight unless it is performed with an earnest desire to do His will and fulfill His purpose. If God is not recognized as the author and end of our actions, they are weighed in the balances of the sanctuary and found wanting. Closing our restaurants on the Sabbath. The question has been asked, should our restaurants be opened on the Sabbath? My answer is, no, no. The observance of the Sabbath is our witness to God, the mark or sign between Him and us that we are His people. Never is this mark to be obliterated. Were the workers in our restaurants to provide meals on the Sabbath the same as they do through the week for the mass of people who would come, where would be their day of rest? What opportunity would they have to recruit their physical and spiritual strength? Not long since, special light was given me on this subject. I was shown that efforts would be made to break down our standard of Sabbath observance, that men would plead for the opening of our restaurants on the Sabbath, but that this must never be done. A scene passed before me. I was in our restaurant in San Francisco. It was Friday. Several of the workers were busily engaged in putting up packages of such foods as could be easily carried by the people to their homes, and a number were waiting to receive these packages. I asked the meaning of this, and the workers told me that some among their patrons were troubled because, on account of the closing of the restaurant, they could not on the Sabbath obtain food of the same kind as that which they used during the week. Realizing the value of the wholesome foods obtained at the restaurant, they protested against being denied them on the seventh day, and pleaded with those in charge of the restaurant to keep it open every day in the week, pointing out what they would suffer if this were not done. "What you see today," said the workers, "is our answer to this demand for the health foods upon the Sabbath. These people take on Friday food that lasts over the Sabbath, and in this way we avoid condemnation for refusing to open the restaurant on the Sabbath. The line of demarcation between our people and the world must ever be kept unmistakably plain. Our platform is the law of God, in which we are enjoined to observe the Sabbath day. For, as is distinctly stated in the 31st chapter of Exodus, the observance of the Sabbath is a sign between God and His people. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, He declares, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. We are to heed a thus saith the Lord, even though by our obedience we cause great inconvenience to those who have no respect for the Sabbath. On one hand, we have man's supposed necessities. On the other, God's commands. Which have the greatest weight with us? In our sanitariums, the family of patients, with the physicians, nurses, and helpers, must be fed upon the Sabbath, as any other family, with as little labor as possible. But our restaurants should not be opened on the Sabbath. Let the workers be assured that they will have this day for the worship of God. The closed doors on the Sabbath stamp the restaurant as a memorial for God, a memorial which declares that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and that on it no unnecessary work is to be done. I have been instructed that one of the principal reasons why hygienic restaurants and treatment rooms should be established in the centers of large cities is that by this means, the attention of leading men will be called to the third angel's message. Noticing that these restaurants are conducted in a way altogether different from the way in which ordinary restaurants are conducted, men of intelligence will begin to inquire into the reasons for the difference in business methods, and will investigate the principles that lead us to serve superior food. Thus they will be led to a knowledge of the message for this time. When thinking men find that our restaurants are closed on the Sabbath, they will make inquiries in regard to the principles that lead us to close our doors on Saturday. In answering their questions, we shall have opportunity to acquaint them with the reasons for our faith. We can give them copies of our periodicals and tracts, so that they may be able to understand the difference between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Not all our people are as particular as they should be in regard to Sabbath observance. May God help them to reform. It becomes the head of every family to plant his feet firmly on the platform of obedience. Healthful Foods, Kurrenbong, New South Wales, March 10, 1900. During the past night, many things have been opened before me. The manufacture and sale of health foods will require careful and prayerful consideration. There are many minds in many places to whom the Lord will surely give knowledge of how to prepare foods that are healthful and palatable, if he sees that they will use this knowledge righteously. Animals are becoming more and more diseased, and it will not be long until animal food will be discarded by many besides Seventh-day Adventists. Foods that are healthful and life-sustaining are to be prepared, so that men and women will not need to eat meat. The Lord will teach many in all parts of the world to combine fruits, grains, and vegetables into foods that will sustain life and will not bring disease. Those who have never seen the recipes for making the health foods now on the market will work intelligently, experimenting with the food productions of the earth, and will be given light regarding the use of these productions. The Lord will show them what to do. He who gives skill and understanding to his people in one part of the world will give skill and understanding to his people in other parts of the world. It is his design that the food treasures of each country shall be so prepared that they can be used in the countries for which they are suited. As God gave manna from heaven to sustain the children of Israel, so he will now give his people in different places skill and wisdom to use the productions of these countries in preparing foods to take the place of meat. These foods should be made in the different countries, for to transport them from one country to another makes them so expensive that the poor cannot afford them. It will never pay to depend upon America for the supply of health foods for other countries. Great difficulty will be found in handling the imported goods without financial loss. All who handle the health foods are to work unselfishly for the benefit of their fellow men. Unless men allow the Lord to guide their minds, untold difficulties will arise as different ones engage in this work. When the Lord gives one skill and understanding, let that one remember that this wisdom was not given for his benefit only, but that with it he might help others. No man is to think that he is the possessor of all knowledge regarding the preparation of health foods, or that he has the sole right to use the Lord's treasures of earth and tree in this work. No man is to feel free to use according to his own pleasure the knowledge God has given him on this subject. Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew 10, verse 8. It is our wisdom to prepare simple, inexpensive, healthful foods. Many of our people are poor, and healthful foods are to be provided that can be supplied at prices that the poor can afford to pay. It is the Lord's design that the poorest people in every place shall be supplied with inexpensive, healthful foods. In many places, industries for the manufacture of these foods are to be established. That which is a blessing to the work in one place will be a blessing in another place, where money is very much harder to obtain. God is working in behalf of His people. He does not desire them to be without resources. He is bringing them back to the diet originally given to man. Their diet is to consist of the foods made from the materials He has provided. The materials principally used in these foods will be fruits and grains and nuts, but various roots will also be used. The profits on these foods are to come principally from the world rather than from the Lord's people. God's people have to sustain His work. They have to enter new fields and establish churches. On them rest the burdens of many missionary enterprises. No unnecessary burdens are to be placed upon them. To His people, God is a present help in every time of need. Great care should be exercised by those who prepare recipes for our health journals. Some of the specially prepared foods now being made can be improved, and our plans regarding their use will have to be modified. Some have used the nut preparations too freely. Many have written to me, "I cannot use the nut foods. What shall I use in the place of meat?" One night, I seemed to be standing before a company of people, telling them that nuts are used too freely in their preparation of foods, that the system cannot take care of them when used as in some of the recipes given, and that, if used more sparingly, the results would be more satisfactory. The Lord desires those living in countries where fresh fruit can be obtained during a large part of the year to awake to the blessing they have in this fruit. The more we depend upon the fresh fruit, just as it is plucked from the tree, the greater will be the blessing. Some, after adopting a vegetarian diet, return to the use of flesh meat. This is foolish indeed, and reveals a lack of knowledge of how to provide proper food in the place of meat. Cooking schools, conducted by wise instructors, are to be held in America and in other lands. Everything that we can do should be done to show the people the value of the reform diet. Manufacture of Health Foods, St. Helena, California, February 16, 1901. Last night, I seemed to be speaking to our people, telling them that, as Seventh-day Adventists, we must cultivate love, patience, and true courtesy. Jesus will strengthen the leaders of His people if they will learn of Him. God's people must strive to reach the very highest standard of excellence. Especially should those who are medical missionaries manifest in spirit, word, and character that they are following Christ Jesus, the divine model of medical missionary effort. I have a most earnest desire that in every place the work shall be carried forward in accordance with His commands. I see trouble ahead as high as mountains for our people in the way in which some things are now being done, and especially in regard to the health food business. As we advance, we shall have to meet very difficult problems of human invention, which will bring much perplexity. Scheming tends to dishonesty. With great skill and with painstaking effort, Dr. Kellogg and his associates have prepared a special line of health foods. Their chief motive has been to benefit humanity, and God's blessing has rested upon their efforts. If they follow in the counsel of God, if they walk after the example of Christ, they will continue to advance, for God will give skill and understanding to those who seek Him unselfishly. In many respects, improvements can be made in the health foods sent out from our factories. The Lord will teach His servants how to make food preparations that are more simple and less expensive. There are many whom He will teach in this line if they will walk in His counsel and in harmony with their brethren. To our brethren in all lands, the Lord has instructed me to say that He has not confined to a few persons all the light there is to be received in regard to the best preparations of health foods. He will give to many minds in different places tact and skill that will enable them to prepare health foods suitable for the countries in which they live. God is the author of all wisdom, all intelligence, all talent. He will magnify His name by giving to many minds wisdom in the preparation of health foods. And when He does this, the making of these new foods is not to be looked upon as an infringement of the rights of those who are already manufacturing health foods, although in some respects, the foods made by the different ones may be similar. God will take ordinary men and will give them skill and understanding in the use of the fruit of the earth. He deals impartially with His workers. Not one is forgotten by Him. He will impress businessmen who are Sabbath keepers to establish industries that will provide employment for his people. He will teach his servants to prepare less expensive health foods, which can be bought by the poor. In all our plans, we should remember that the health food work is the property of God, and that it is not to be made a financial speculation for personal gain. It is God's gift to his people, and the profits are to be used for the good of suffering humanity everywhere. Especially in the southern states of North America, many things will be devised and many facilities provided that the poor and needy can sustain themselves by the health food industries. Under teachers who are laboring for the salvation of their souls, they will be taught how to cultivate and prepare for food those things that grow most readily in their locality. An evil work. Some of our brethren have done a work that has wrought great injury to the cause. The knowledge of methods for the manufacture of health foods, which God gave to his people as a means of helping to sustain his cause, these men have disclosed to worldly businessmen who are using it for personal gain. They have sold the Lord's goods for personal profit. Those who have thus disclosed the secrets in their possession in regard to the preparation of health foods have abused a God-given trust. As they see the result of this betrayal of trust, some will sorely regret that they did not keep their own counsel and wait for the Lord to lead his servants and to work out his own plans. Some who obtain these secrets will scheme to hedge up the way of our sanitarium food work, and by misrepresentation will delude to their injury those who patronize them. The health food business should not be borrowed or stolen from those who, by its management, are endeavoring to build up and advance the cause. Dr. Kellogg, with the help of others, has, at a large outlay of means, studied out the processes for the preparation of certain special foods and has provided expensive facilities for their manufacture. This work has taken a great deal of precious time, for many experiments have had to be made. And it is right that those who have thus labored and invested their means should be allowed to reap the fruit of their labor. As the Lord's steward, Dr. Kellogg should be allowed to control a reasonable income from the special products that he, by the blessing of God, has been enabled to produce, that he may have means wherewith to make appropriations for the advancement of the work of God as occasion may demand. Let no one, having learned the secrets of their composition, take up the preparation of these special foods and sell them for personal profit. Let no one give the impression that they are working in harmony with those who in the first place prepared these foods for sale, when they are not. No one has a right to engage in the manufacture of these foods in any selfish way. Let us all come near the Lord and with humble hearts seek to glorify Him in every act. I have a warning for those who have a knowledge of the methods of manufacturing the special health foods produced in our factories. They are not to use their knowledge for selfish purposes or in a way that will misrepresent the cause. Neither are they to make this knowledge public. Let the churches take hold of this and show these brethren that such a course is a betrayal of trust and that it will bring reproach on the cause. Let not those who have been and are employed in the work of making the health foods first prepared by Dr. Kellogg or by any other pioneer in this work disclose to others the secrets of the manufacture of the special foods, for thus they defraud the cause of that which should be used for its advancement. I beseech you, my brethren, to make straight paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way. Do not place information in the hands of those who, from lack of conscientious regard for health reform, may place impure articles on the market as health foods. Stand on the side of righteousness in all your transactions. Then you will not appear to disadvantage before God or man. Do not enter into any dishonest practices. Those who take up the manufacture of sanitarium health foods for personal profit are taking a liberty to which they have no right. Thus, great confusion is caused. Some are now manufacturing and selling goods that profess to be health foods, but that contain unwholesome ingredients. Again, the foods are often of so inferior a quality that much harm is done to the cause by their sale, those who buy them supposing that all health foods are similar. No one has any right to take advantage of the business arrangements that have been made in regard to Sanitarium Health Foods. Those who handle the foods devised by Dr. Kellogg at large expense should first come to an understanding with him, or others who are working in harmony with him, and learn the best methods of handling these foods. He who enters selfishly into this work, at the same time giving his customers the impression that the profits on the goods he sells are used to aid benevolent enterprises, while in reality they are used for personal interests, is under the displeasure of God. By and by his business will fail, and he will get things into such a tangle that his brethren will have to buy him out to save the cause from disgrace. The Lord is greatly displeased when his service is dishonored by the selfishness of those engaged in it. He wills that every part of his work shall be in harmony with every other part, joint connecting with joint. The Lord wants his people to stand far above selfish interests. He wants them to conquer the temptations they meet. He calls for the communion of saints. He desires his workers to stand under his supervision. He will plane and polish the material for his temple, preparing each piece to fit closely to the other, that the building may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Heaven is to begin on this earth. When the Lord's people are filled with meekness and tenderness, they will realize that his banner over them is love, and his fruit will be sweet to their taste. They will make a heaven below in which to prepare for heaven above. Educate the people. St. Helena, California, August 20, 1902. Wherever the truth is proclaimed, instruction should be given in the preparation of healthful foods. God desires that in every place the people shall be taught to use wisely the products that can be easily obtained. Skillful teachers should show the people how to utilize to the very best advantage the products that they can raise or secure in their section of the country. Thus the poor, as well as those in better circumstances, can learn to live healthfully. From the beginning of the health reform work, we have found it necessary to educate, educate, educate. God desires us to continue this work of educating the people. We are not to neglect it because of the effect we may fear it will have on the sales of the health foods prepared in our factories. That is not the most important matter. Our work is to show the people how they can obtain and prepare the most wholesome food, how they can cooperate with God in restoring His moral image in themselves. Our workers should exercise their ingenuity in the preparation of healthful foods. None are to pry into Dr. Kellogg's secrets, but all should understand that the Lord is teaching many minds in many places to make healthful foods. There are many products which, if properly prepared and combined, can be made into foods that will be a blessing to those who cannot afford to purchase the more expensive, specially prepared health foods. He who in the building of the tabernacle gave skill and understanding in all manner of cunning work will give skill and understanding to his people in the combining of natural food products, thus showing them how to secure a healthful diet. Knowledge in regard to the preparation of healthful foods is God's property and has been communicated to man in order that he may communicate it to his fellow men. In saying this, I do not refer to the special preparations that it has taken Dr. Kellogg and others long study and much expense to perfect. I refer especially to the simple preparations that all can make for themselves, instruction in regard to which should be given freely to those who desire to live healthfully, and especially to the poor. It is the Lord's design that in every place men and women shall be encouraged to develop their talents by preparing healthful foods from the natural products of their own section of the country. If they look to God, exercising their skill and ingenuity under the guidance of His Spirit, they will learn how to prepare natural products into healthful foods. Thus they will be able to teach the poor how to provide themselves with foods that will take the place of flesh meat. Those thus helped can in turn instruct others. Such a work will yet be done with consecrated zeal and energy. If it had been done before, there would today be many more people in the truth and many more who could give instruction. Let us learn what our duty is, and then do it. We are not to be dependent and helpless, waiting for others to do the work that God has committed to us. In the use of foods, we should exercise good, sound common sense. When we find that a certain food does not agree with us, we need not write letters of inquiry to learn the cause of the disturbance. Change the diet. Use less of some foods. Try other preparations. Soon we shall know the effect that certain combinations have on us. As intelligent human beings, let us individually study the principles and use our experience and judgment in deciding what foods are best for us. The foods used should be suited to the occupation in which we are engaged and the climate in which we live. Some foods that are suitable in one country will not do in another. There are some who would be benefited more by abstinence from food for a day or two every week than by any amount of treatment or medical advice. To fast one day a week would be of incalculable benefit to them. I have been instructed that the nut foods are often used unwisely, that too large a proportion of nuts is used, that some nuts are not as wholesome as others. Almonds are preferable to peanuts, but peanuts, in limited quantities, may be used in connection with grains to make nourishing and digestible food. Olives may be so prepared as to be eaten with good results at every meal. The advantages sought by the use of butter may be obtained by the eating of properly prepared olives. The oil in the olives relieves constipation, and for consumptives and for those who have inflamed, irritated stomachs, it is better than any drug. As a food, it is better than any oil coming secondhand from animals. It would be well for us to do less cooking and to eat more fruit in its natural state. Let us teach the people to eat freely of the fresh grapes, apples, peaches, pears, berries, and all other kinds of fruit that can be obtained. Let these be prepared for winter use by canning, using glass, as far as possible, instead of tin. Concerning flesh meat, we should educate the people to let it alone. Its use is contrary to the best development of the physical, mental, and moral powers. And we should bear a clear testimony against the use of tea and coffee. It is also well to discard rich desserts. Milk, eggs, and butter should not be classed with flesh meat. In some cases, the use of eggs is beneficial. The time has not come to say that the use of milk and eggs should be wholly discarded. There are poor families whose diet consists largely of bread and milk. They have little fruit and cannot afford to purchase the nut foods. In teaching health reform, as in all other gospel work, we are to meet the people where they are. Until we can teach them how to prepare health reform foods that are palatable, nourishing, and yet inexpensive, we are not at liberty to present the most advanced propositions regarding health reform diet. Let the diet reform be progressive. Let the people be taught how to prepare food without the use of milk or butter. Tell them that the time will soon come when there will be no safety in using eggs, milk, cream, or butter, because disease in animals is increasing in proportion to the increase of wickedness among men. The time is near when, because of the iniquity of the fallen race, the whole animal creation will groan under the diseases that curse our earth. God will give His people ability and tact to prepare wholesome food without these things. Let our people discard all unwholesome recipes. Let them learn how to live healthfully, teaching to others what they have learned. Let them impart this knowledge as they would Bible instruction. Let them teach the people to preserve the health and increase the strength by avoiding the large amount of cooking that has filled the world with chronic invalids. By precept and example, make it plain that the food which God gave Adam in his sinless state is the best for man's use as he seeks to regain that sinless state. Those who teach the principles of health reform should be intelligent in regard to disease and its causes, understanding that every action of the human agent should be in perfect harmony with the laws of life. The light God has given on health reform is for our salvation and the salvation of the world. Men and women should be informed in regard to the human habitation, fitted up by our Creator as His dwelling place, and over which He desires us to be faithful stewards. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Hold up the principles of health reform, and let the Lord lead the honest in heart. Present the principles of temperance in their most attractive form. Circulate the books that give instruction in regard to healthful living. The people are in sad need of the light shining from the pages of our health books and journals. God desires to use these books and journals as mediums through which flashes of light shall arrest the attention of the people and cause them to heed the warning of the message of the third angel. Our health journals are instrumentalities in the field to do a special work in disseminating the light that the inhabitants of the world must have in this day of God's preparation. They wield an untold influence in the interests of health and temperance and social purity reform, and will accomplish great good in presenting these subjects in a proper manner and in their true light to the people. The Lord has been sending us line upon line, and if we reject these principles, we are not rejecting the messenger who teaches them, but the one who has given us the principles. Reform, continual reform, must be kept before the people, and by our example, we must enforce our teaching. True religion and the laws of health go hand in hand. It is impossible to work for the salvation of men and women without presenting to them the need of breaking away from sinful gratifications, which destroy the health, debase the soul, and prevent divine truth from impressing the mind. Men and women must be taught to take a careful view of every habit and every practice, and at once put away those things that cause an unhealthy condition of the body, and thus cast a dark shadow over the mind. God desires His light-bearers ever to keep a high standard before them. By precept and example, they must hold their perfect standard high above Satan's false standard, which, if followed, will lead to misery, degradation, disease, and death for both body and soul. Let those who have obtained a knowledge of how to eat and drink and dress so as to preserve health impart this knowledge to others. Let the poor have the gospel of health preached unto them from a practical point of view, that they may know how to care properly for the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit.